Well, it's a pleasure to be able to join you at St Cuthbert's on this Trinity Sunday. Let's begin our sermon with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we are separated in space, we are together in spirit. And on this Trinity Sunday, we give you thanks and praise that we can come together to learn more of you and to offer you our worship and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. At the heart of our faith is the relationship of Father, Son and Spirit, a divine trinity that distinctively marks out Christianity from any other faith tradition. Indeed, almost every heresy or error in Christian history derives from a distortion of one person of the Trinity or another, or their relationship together. How, though, are we to understand the Trinity? Preachers up and down the land today will be straining every analogy they can think of in order to convey this truth. I have no intention of following suit. Rather, I simply want to convey three truths that the Trinity helps us with in our faith. The key, and our gospel passage from Matthew 28 will help us here, is not to see each of these truths as representing one person of the Trinity, but as all of them together reflecting the Trinity as a whole. First then, the Trinity teaches us the sovereign, divine, holy majesty of God as creator and judge. Take yourself back to the beginning of the Bible in the opening chapters of Genesis, and we see the Spirit hovering over the creation in Genesis 1, verse 2. We see also Isaiah crying out in Isaiah 6, verse 5, that my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Note that we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that. And in our passage in Matthew 28:16, Jesus declares that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, there is something important and integral to our faith that recognises God's otherness, God's mightiness, God's majesty and holiness in the divine Trinity. Yet I'm sure you can also see that if we stopped there and said nothing else, we would have a distortion of our faith. This is because, secondly, the Trinity teaches us the intimacy and love of God for each one of us. So our God is the one who weeps in the garden, in Matthew 26, his soul overwhelmed as he submits himself to the divine will of the cross. And here in our passage this morning, we read of a Lord who promises not that all will go as we wish, but that he will never leave us. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Elsewhere in 1 John 4, we're told quite bluntly that God is love, and we see that love in Christ's sacrifice for us, and we are, conversely, to love one another. Can you begin to see something of the power and the majesty and the mystery of the divine Trinity? The one who is almighty and holy is the same one who dies for us and loves us. The third truth, then, is that the Trinity teaches us that we are empowered to bring his message of salvation and transformation to all. Our lives are changed, transformed, and we are given the means to take the message of the gospel out into all the world. Christianity is a public faith, not merely a private devotion. Note from the reading, the four imperatives: go, that is not stay, make disciples, baptize, teach. All of these things are actions, all transform both individuals and the world, and all are inextricably linked to the divine trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, on this Trinity Sunday, let us not worry about esoteric analogies to try and explain the unexplainable. Rather, let us embrace the divine mystery, bow before His holiness, receive and share His love, and go, make disciples, baptize, teach, proclaim His salvation to the world. Amen.